This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. So 7:36 in the morning. I'm Chuang, joined by Xiao Ning. And in about half an hour, we've got an interesting panel for the Breakfast Grill with the future of Malaysian politics.
Yes, we do. And it's going to be Fahmi Fazil, who is the PKR Communications Director, together with Cheryl Hamdan, UMNO Information Chief. So like you say, Chuang, they do similar jobs, but on the polar opposites when it comes to political parties. Now, of course, I'm going to ask them about the revival of the controversial JASA and Budget 2021, youth issues, and the future of Malaysian politics. So do tune in, and that's going to be happening after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. I think it's going to be a very interesting conversation.
I think it's going to be fiery. Okay.
I hope so.
I hope so. From politics, we go to technology. And earlier this week, we know that Airbnb boosted the price range of its IPO to $56 to $60 a share each, up from a previous range of between $44 and $50. And they, in doing so, they also did the same thing as DoorDash, which is up the price range of their shares. That means that Airbnb has a valuation that could be as much as $42 billion, roughly about the same as 1MDB, by the way, which also seems to indicate that its IPO, one of the closest watched this year, is seeing high demand from investors.
Now, this might beg the question, because travel has been decimated, but encouraging vaccine news has led investors to become more receptive towards companies that have not quite benefited from the pandemic. Now, the home rental company, which has seen a bounce back in domestic bookings since the early days of the pandemic, has crushed demands, has planned to offer 50 million shares with exiting shareholders, selling an additional 1.6 million shares. So, of course, the million-dollar question, right? How will this IPO pan out?
Okay, well, for more on this, we've got Howard Yu, the Professor of Management and Innovation at the IMD School of Business, to talk to us about this. Howard, Professor, we've had some updates overnight about the pricing of Airbnb. What do you think are some of the justifications for its valuation? Is it valued as a tech company or hospitality company?
Yeah, totally. It's almost moving by the hours, moving by the days. It's up and up again. Right now, we're talking about over $42 billion or even a little bit higher. But fundamentally, I think what investors have been looking, they pretty much have assumed COVID-19 crisis is over as far as investors are concerned. And right now, what you're seeing is the financial market really disproportionately reward company across all sector. They are much more geared towards the future. So for Airbnb, undoubtedly, they are the only one, arguably, has been building up an organization that are so catered towards the future travel after the pandemic crisis. I think it's because of this we are seeing the valuation getting pushing higher and higher and higher.
Now, who is Airbnb's competition here, though?
Right. So at IMD, we actually track who are the player most ready for the future, regardless of sector they're in. And what we're seeing, of course, Airbnb is top all categories in terms of innovation. And if you're looking at Expedia or Booking.com or TripAdvisor, for instance, right, these are organizations historically basically simply aggregate supply and make it pricing transparent. But fundamentally, they are paying themselves to growth. They acquire smaller brands. So under Booking.com, you have a bunch of brands that they acquire over time, including Kayak, Priceline, etc. And they also are big spender on Google Pay Ad as well, unlike Airbnb. Airbnb, they slashed their Google ad spend because of crisis. They saved something close to $500 million as a result. And the way they continue to generate growth is through organic traffic. They provide interesting and user-friendly interface, and it becomes a category on its own. So when people are thinking about renting a place upstate New York, for instance, getting away from crowded city, they immediately thinking about Airbnb without the need for Airbnb to pay for advertisement. That in itself is fundamentally break away from the dominant business model, if you will, of all this online travel agency. So in a way, Airbnb have no competitor. It's a category on its own.
Prof, how important is host retention and repeat bookings for Airbnb?
Absolutely. That's top number one, right? Because for any companies of such, in order to retain a customer is is very important, because the acquisition cost is always much higher and one have to calculate the lifetime value. And here's the magic about Airbnb compared to all the other tech giants as well. If you're thinking about Uber or, you know, food delivery company like DoorDash, their so-called network effect, when you are becoming bigger, you get bigger market share, is essentially local. If I live in Singapore or if I live in Kuala Lumpur, all you care about is the local drivers. This is not the case of Airbnb. No matter where you are targeting your global travelers, which means their network effect is from day one is global. That makes it very hard for copycat competition to dethrone them. This is why you see in Southeast Asia, you have Grab dethroning Uber. In Russia is Yandex, who is the biggest. In China is DD. That's not the case for Airbnb. Airbnb still maintains global leadership of this whole industry globally.
So if Airbnb is already the global leader, what is their potential for further growth then?
Right. So I think it comes down to how much innovation Airbnb has and how much is the likability of the company. So let me break it down to two-level analysis, because for the first part, you kind of see Airbnb already branching out to all this experience, right? You can learn about, you know, cooking class or mountaineering by local guide. And right now we see they pivot to online, which is sort of an interim solution. It's not going to be big anyways. But once traffic restriction get restored to normal, then people may go on to, you know, renting a house somewhere and then join all this local tour and experience. And then you can think about cruise line. You can think about other learning mode, basically anything to tie with the unique experience locally, Airbnb can easily branch out into them. And then, of course, any company, if they try to innovate, they also need to be positioned as a good monopoly, right? We are now hearing the congressional hearing, people trying to break out Facebook, etc., because Facebook is not likable anymore. But if you're looking at Airbnb, the founder seems to be very decent. They pay themselves not as much compared to other startup CEO. And more importantly, they are having this advisory board comprises of host, apartment host, to give management team feedback. That is almost unthinkable in the case of Uber, right? Having like union by drivers, that's unthinkable. So I would argue Airbnb's biggest asset is its likability. Today, if you want to innovate, you need to be likable. Otherwise, you're just getting sued by government local authorities.
Yeah, but despite Airbnb's likability, we've seen governments like Japan take steps to regulate the company. How much is that going to limit its expansion?
Yeah, I think what Airbnb probably is going to pivot is to play by the local rules. So what you're seeing, for instance, in New York, the local authority basically dropped a charge and it's not going to pursue anyways. In Europe, where I live, for instance, of course, they have putting in a lot more regulation in Germany and France. And so Airbnb basically complied to the local situation. And you mentioned about in Japan and Asia as well. What we're seeing Airbnb most likely to pursue is a different version of offer, depending on the geographical region they are operating. But again, if you're talking about travel experience, practically the world is the oyster, right? There is all these fast growth regions, whether it is Latin America, Africa. So as long as Airbnb continue to stay flexible and being close to regulator instead of trying to, you know, move fast and break things, they actually work with local authority, then I don't think it poses a really serious issue going forward.
That was Howard Yu, Professor of Management and Innovation at the RMD School of Business. Next, a look at a Chinese Belt and Road project in Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.